our folks at the mission building, I ought to be ashamed for asking that or telling them if you have your Bibles, because we bring our Bibles. Folks like us, we always bring our Bibles to the house of God with us, because that's our guide, our textbook, what we use. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Peter writing to those who belonged to the Lord, and I believe he's writing to saved church members especially, but for all of God's people. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, Peter says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful." That word mindful means that you may be fully thinking, that your mind might be full of this kind of thinking, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? Where is this coming of the Lord that you've been preaching about? Where is this coming of the Lord that you've been prophesying about? Where is this coming of the Lord that you've been singing about and warning us about? Where is it?" That's what they'll be saying, as they already say today. Where is the promise of His coming? Now listen to this. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Now that's what they'll be saying. And that's what they're saying today. Why in the world and why do you preach what you do about the coming of the Lord, when we can look back and all the others that preached it before you, they're dead. And He hasn't come yet. And everything, all things still continue as it was from the beginning of the creation. The only thing is, folks, I believe things have changed since the beginning of creation. And I believe they're still changing. And the thing of it is, they're not changing for the better, they're changing for the worse. Amen. So you see, they ask a question and then try to answer it with a lie. Because all things, when creation was, when God made the first man, the first woman, they were pure. But they fell in sin. So there was a change. You see. You have to think about that. That's natural thinking. All things. And I'm telling you what, God's people are just as guilty. We get to looking and we get to considering the coming of the Lord in the natural mind. We try to reason it out. Well, look, nothing's changed yet, so surely it won't be today. Listen to what he says in verse 5. "For this," I take that word "for" to mean because of this, because of what they've been saying, because of what they say, "they willingly are ignorant of it." They're willing to be ignorant of the truth of the coming of the Lord. People are willing to be ignorant of it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to consider it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't want their minds to even be filled with something like this. But you know, I was thinking as I read this, that it seems to me that there are a lot of those who claim to be the children of God that are also willing to be ignorant. I don't mean ignorant in that sense. I mean that they don't want to know about the coming of the Lord. I heard someone say one time, and I didn't agree with them then, don't now, but they said, I just pray that the Lord won't come soon, because I have family and loved ones and children that are lost. I can understand their feeling, but that's not spiritual thinking. That's natural thinking. The Lord could not come for 1,000 years from now, and they will still die and go to hell unless God saves them by His grace. Amen. To ask the Lord to delay or tarry His coming is a sin. But you see, we're willing to be ignorant of that fact because we look at it in a natural sense. Listen as he goes on. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then, or that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, those of us who are saved, those of us who are the chosen of God, not willing that any should perish, any of His should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You may be saying, Brother Hall, preach it, but He hasn't come yet, and I don't think He's coming today. Jesus is coming. And as I've said before, Jesus is not coming soon. He's coming. He is coming. It could be this very moment. I may not get to finish this message down here, but I truly believe that Jesus is coming any moment now. I'm not looking for a place to die. I'm not looking for a way to die. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about, the coming of the Lord. I believe he puts it all in one whole perspective, but he's talking about the coming of the Lord. I am what they may call a pre-trib, premillennial preacher. I believe he's coming before the tribulation period. That's why I'm looking for him. Now, if I didn't think he was coming till after the tribulation period, I wouldn't be looking for him now. But you see, I'm looking for him now. I'm looking for him to come. Now, I want you to notice now, if you will, in the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, and if you need a title for this, it's just simply Jesus is coming. But in Titus, chapter 2, and verse 11, in Titus, chapter 2, verse 11, down through verse 13, in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul writes like this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Teaching us. So the grace of God not only saves us, but it teaches us. It's a teaching grace. What does it teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord. We should have woke up this morning looking for the coming of the Lord. We should have laid our heads on our pillows last night believing that the Lord is coming anytime. The grace of God teaches me that I ought to be living in this life, the life that God would have me to live. I ought to be doing that. But at the same time as I'm doing what God teaches me I ought to do down here, I'm to do it looking for Jesus Christ to appear. So the question is, are you looking for Jesus to come? Are you looking for Him to come? And we can pretty well gauge whether we're looking for Him to come by the way we live, by the way we think. We get all excited about some things that we are looking for to happen. We get excited about birthday celebrations. We get excited about holidays, as they call them. We get excited about a lot of things. But isn't it sad that God's people, you very seldom ever see a crowd like this, let alone a smaller crowd, that get excited because Jesus is coming. We ought to be looking for Him. We ought to be looking for Him now. That's what the Bible teaches. The grace of God teaches us to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought to be looking for Him. Not going around looking for a place to die. Not going around looking for a time to die. Not looking for a good undertaker if there are any. But we ought to be looking for Jesus to come. I believe that's what the writers are talking about. Looking for the Lord to come. I may die before He comes. But you mark it down, He's still coming. Amen. And when it comes time for me to die, folks, I won't die alone. All I'm going to do is go home with Jesus. I'm just going to take a journey out of this life into eternal life, everlasting life of Jesus Christ, my Savior. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm looking for Him to come because the Bible teaches me to do that. Secondly, not only are you looking for Him, but are you listening for Him? Are you listening for the coming of the Lord? Listen in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 what the Apostle Paul says about the coming of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I believe this, folks. I believe with all of my heart, and that's I've been preaching about it for several years now because I'm still looking for Him. I'm still looking for Him. I'm still looking and listening for Him to come. A church member, not too long ago, a few years ago, he said, "You know," he said, "Brother Hall," he said, "I heard you preach in 1972, and you said Jesus is coming." I said, "I'm still preaching the same message because I'm looking for Him to come. And I'm listening for Him to come." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Paul said, "For if we believe," do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Is that your hope? is the hope of your salvation based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, and that's the way I believe I ought to preach it, then we which are alive, including me, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Apostle Paul says the coming of the Lord is not only going to be seen by His people as we look for Him, but we're going to be able to hear His coming. So the second question is, are you listening for His coming? Not only are you looking for Him, but are you listening? The Bible says that we ought to be looking and listening for the Lord to come. That ought to be our primary object as we go about doing the things in this life that need to be done. You say, Brother Hall, I'm building a new house. Go ahead and build it. Look for the Lord to come. I'm looking for a new job. Go ahead and look for a new job, but look for the Lord to come. Go ahead and do what you have to do in this life, but don't forget to look and listen for the Lord to come. You can leave all that behind. You can leave that all behind, see, when He comes. But as human beings and as God's people, we just go on living and doing the things that are necessary for you and I to live, but we're looking and listening for the Lord to come at any time. At any time. I think about that. I think about that. And I'm anxious for that to come to pass. I want to see Jesus. I want to be where He is. I want to experience that great thing that the Bible calls the resurrection day, when all of God's people, whether dead or alive when He comes, they all meet together, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and caught up together to meet Him in the air. Woo-hoo! That's great. That's coming. The Bible teaches me to look for it anytime. It causes me to listen for it all the time. I have loved ones, I have family that are lost and in their sins. But no matter how I might pray that God would not send His Son, they'd still die and go to hell. It won't change it a bit, folks. I do believe that when He comes, that for you and I that are saved, the former things will pass away. You say, oh, Brother Otto, I don't believe I could stand it in heaven if I knew one of my loved ones, if I watched one of my loved ones die and go to hell. It wouldn't be much of a heaven if you were there watching them dying and going to hell, would it? God in His plans and purposes have made it so that the former things will pass away. In fact, it said they'll not even be remembered. It'll all be new, folks. That's why I'm anxious for the Lord to come. There won't be any worry. There won't be any pain. There won't be any sorrow. There won't be any hurt for those who were unsaved. That's what's so wonderful. That's only one of the things that's so wonderful about the coming of the Lord. And the resurrection day. When the resurrection day takes place, I believe that's when the Lord comes for His people, don't you? For the church. And when that happens, I'm like David, I believe it is, when he says, I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied because I'm going to be in His likeness. I'm going to be perfectly satisfied. I'm not going to go up there and say, hey, Lord, I don't believe I like this. I'm not going to look at Sandra and say, listen, Sandra, you've got to talk to him about this. No, it's all going to be all right. Going to be perfect. Going to be pure. I'm going to be perfectly happy. I'm not going to be dissatisfied with anything. He's coming. He's coming for me. And I'm looking and I'm listening for Him to come. Are you listening for Him? Are you listening for Him? Isn't that going to be a joyful sound? Listen, I've heard from Him before. I've heard from Him many times. And He's come many times while I'm here in this life. He comes to me at all times in different ways, many ways, for different needs. But I'm looking for that coming when I shall see His face. The one who saved me by His grace. And I tell you what, folks, I've got something wonderful to look for. I do believe He's going to take me by His hand. And I believe in fact, the Bible says He's going to present to Himself His own bride, the church. That's me, folks. I'm in that. And He's going to present His bride to Himself. And then He's going to leave the rest of the family and He's going to take her. He's going to take her into the city of God, New Jerusalem. And that's where the bridegroom and His bride will rule and live forever. Man, I haven't seen anything like that down here. That's why I'm looking and listening for the coming of the Lord. And then I want you to notice, third and lastly, but don't let that lastly fool you, someone said the other day. Don't let that lastly fool you. Not only are you looking for Him, not only are you listening for Him, but are you expecting Him? Are you expecting Him? Now, I'm sure that Brother Don Titus, pastor of this church, when he invited all the preachers to come to preach and they said yes, he was expecting them. When? At the appointed time. He was expecting them. And if he's anything like me, he'd be looking for those preachers to show up. Because they said they were coming. Now, a lot of things could happen naturally, you know, in God's divine providence to keep that from happening. But there's one thing for sure. There is an appointed day. There is an appointed hour that no one knows but the Father. But Jesus is coming. And we ought to expect Him any time, since we don't know the day nor the hour. Since we do not know the day nor the hour, we ought to be expecting His coming. Look with me in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and see if we can't find that. In Matthew chapter 24, I wrestled with this and wrestled with the Lord. And I know some of you have heard me preach these same kind of messages before, but still preaching them. Still preaching them because I believe it with all of my heart. But in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll just begin in verse 36. Jesus is doing the speaking, so you can believe Him. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But, you see that word but? But. It's like Jesus said, now I've said all of that, but now I've got something else to say about the same matter, about the same subject. But as, or just as it was in the days of Noah, or just as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, Jesus said it. You don't know the day nor the hour. I cannot tell you the day nor the hour. But I can tell you that we ought to be expecting it at any moment. How, Brother Hall, by what Jesus said? As the days of Noah were, so shall also this coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, there are going to be those who will not be expecting His return, but there will be those who belong to Him. And God forbid that we should not be looking for Him when He comes. God forbid that we shouldn't be listening for Him when He comes. And it's very easy for this life and this whole world to distract from the coming of the Lord. But He said you ought to be expecting it. You ought to be expecting it. Well, listen to what He says. Well, in verse 40 says, Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. You see, in verse 44 He says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. We ought to be expecting the Lord to come. We ought to be rejoicing at the fact that He is coming. And we ought to be preparing for the coming of the Lord. Someone says, Brother Hall, what do you think about this? Y2K, don't think a thing about it. I think about the Lord coming. You say, what are you going to do when year 2000 gets here? Still think the same thing? You see, I'm expecting the Lord to come back before anything like that, before the year 2000 ever runs around. Now, you can plan on staying, waiting around if you want to. But the Lord willing, I'm looking for Him to come. I'm looking. But if it does happen, I'll tell you what I'll find. I'll find that Jesus Christ is still everything I need. Y2K or nothing. Anything else. He'll still be, and I'll still be looking for Him to come. But did you notice that the Bible says that as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And we read it, and what He says in verse 38, He says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered. And I've heard folks say, well, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage to great excess. To great excess. Well, really what He said is they were just doing their normal thing. They were just living a normal everyday life. They were just going on in life not expecting anything to ever change. They were going on in their normal everyday routines of people getting married, giving their children in marriage. They eat, they drink. Don't we do that today? Is there anything different about that? Haven't people always done that? Down through the ages, they eat, they drink, they get married. Some don't get married. But I'm talking the daily routine, the normal pattern of living. But you see, that's not what he wants you to see. He wants you to see that that's the way they were living in the days of Noah. But what was it like in the days of Noah? He says, as it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Well, look with me in the book of Genesis chapter 6. In the book of Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6. Now, I want you to see how it was in the days of Noah. Now, they were eating and they were drinking. They were getting married and they were giving in marriage. They were doing all of that. But what was it like in the days of Noah while they were living like that? I mean, while they were living that daily life routine. What was it? Listen to verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man... You see that? He saw that the wickedness of man was what? Was great. Now, if the Scriptures say that God saw that the wickedness of man was great, then there must have been a time behind when it wasn't as great. But now it is great. It was great. That means that it was greater in excess. The wickedness of man was greater. I mean, like today, folks, the morals of our nation, the morals of the world are far, far lower. And if the morals are lower, then wickedness and sin is greater. Jesus said, when it gets like it is and when it was like in the days of Noah, when sin and wickedness is greater than it ever has been. Well, now listen to him. I done lost my place here, threw it away. He said, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All right, now drop down to verse 11 of this same chapter. The earth also. Now you see, wickedness was not only great in the earth, but the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled. You see, that was filled. That means that if it was filled then, it must have been filling up until God said, that's all. You see, it was filled with violence. With violence. Then in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Why? For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And God began to have Noah prepare for the coming of the flood. God was planning on taking Noah and his family out. Place them in the ark of safety and security. But you see, the Bible says that the way it was in the days of Noah... Listen, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, giving in marriage, they were doing all of that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the environment, he's talking about the morality, that the earth, that men, the wickedness of men was great. And violence filled the earth. And you look at our world today, folks. Now let me give you for instance. By the time we got here Tuesday evening, in our own country, out there in Denver, Colorado, there were two young boys that went in and killed at least 25 or more people, students and teachers or whoever it was, and wounded many more, and then turned their guns on themselves and committed suicide. Did you ever hear of anything like that before? Violence. Violence. And now they begin to look back. They begin to look back at what's been happening in the world today. And every little kid, every little boy here probably, if they've been exposed to any kind of an Atari or a or a Nintendo game or Super Nintendo or television or some of these movies they put out today, what is it? Violence. Shoot them. The blood splatters and rolls. And they groan, ah! And they began to trace this back. That's what's been feeding these children's minds. Listen, they're already depraved. And that brings the depravity out. But you see, it don't start with the children. It has to start with mom and dad. And the thing of it is, the Lord's churches and the Lord's people ought to recognize what's going on. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. You know why? Because we have forgotten. We have set aside. We don't think about the coming of the Lord as we ought to. We're not looking. We're not listening. And we're not expecting Him to come like we ought to. But we need to be reminded. Peter says, I'm writing you this letter that you might be reminded. And God giving me grace, I want to keep on reminding. I need it. But you see, are you expecting Him? Are you expecting Him? And we ought to be prepared and ready when He comes. They were doing what people had always done, just like we do it today. They were doing it in spite of what's going on. Did we not hear the news? And then what did we do? We continued on. That's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. You see, this is in our own country is what I'm getting you to see. It happens all over the world, but this was in our own country. It happened on the day of the beginning of the conference. We heard the news. We prayed about it. Our hearts hurt. We sympathize as much as we can, and we long to be a help to those parents and those children's friends. But we go on, don't we? We go on and eat. We go on and drink. People go on and get married, give in marriage. That's what I'm talking about. They were doing all of this and didn't recognize the day in which they lived. They didn't recognize how great sin was. They somehow were blinded to the fact that violence had already filled the earth at that time before the flood. And God purged the earth with floods of waters. And all of those outside of Christ perished. But God delivered His people out. He delivered them out. You see, before it ever happened. He delivered them out before it ever happened. But you see, we ought to be expecting. And the Bible tells us that Noah preached. It said he's a preacher of righteousness for 129 years. I mean, he preached for 120 years. He preached. He preached to them for that long. They didn't see it. They couldn't see it. And they refused to believe it. But folks, He is coming. And the promise of His coming is still just as real now as it was when He promised Noah that the floods would come, and they came. Amen. Amen. Jesus is still coming. Have you ever seen a time when countries, even like ours, that we'll have a group of people stand outside of a prison protesting the execution of some proven killer? I mean, someone who might mangle or murder someone and then laugh about it, scoff about it. And they'll stand out there and protest the execution of that individual and just simply enjoy when millions of unborn babies who cannot defend themselves are killed by abortion. Violence has filled the earth. Wickedness is great. Greater than it's ever been, folks, when you look at it. I mean, it's coming out in the open. That's what Jesus said. He said, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. I'm expecting Him any time. Have a reason to do so. And then, well, you remember Lot. We won't get into that, but
But you remember Lot in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. Did you know that, and I'm going to read this to you, but look with me in Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, listen to what he says. And Jesus is still talking about the same subject. In Luke chapter 17, I'll begin reading verse 26, so you see he's still talking about the same subject. But in Luke chapter 17 and verse 26, Jesus said, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood and came and destroyed them all. Likewise also," that means the same way as it was in the days of Lot. "They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out, when God went in and brought him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." He said that's the way it's going to be. Now we have two things to think about, just like it was in the days of Noah, just like it was in the days of Lot. You read chapter 19 of Genesis, and we don't have time to do it, but if we had time to read Genesis 19, verses 1 through 11, we find that Lot was living. He was living in the communities that were filled with homosexuality. Men with men, women with women. And they even dared to call on Lot's door and say, "Send us out those two men that we might know them." They didn't want to be introduced to them. They wanted to know them just like a man would know his wife or his wife would know him, her husband. They were not afraid of God. They were not afraid of Lot. And the Bible says he was a righteous man. Even while he was there. And Brother Randy said, wrong place. But he was there. But it vexed his soul the way they were living. Here we are, folks, right smack dab in the middle of it. You go out shopping and there they are. You listen to them and you watch the news and you'll find them getting married and even so-called preachers performing a ceremony and so-called churches putting their approval upon it. Not only that, but you'll find some judges who will permit those same-sex couples to adopt children. They defy God. They defy the church. They defy government. They say, "You can't stop us. We're going to go ahead. We're going to carry it out. We're going to do what we want to." And what are they doing? Folks, they're not only after everything else, they're after our children. Now they're in the schools. Now they're in the churches, so-called. And now they're everywhere. God help us. We're not only living as it was in the days of Noah, we're living as it was in the days of Lot. You say, "Brother Hall, you just painted a black picture. I'm not through." You see, the good part of it is Jesus is coming. They couldn't go on when Lot tried to deal with them. He couldn't do anything about it. But God said, "I'll put a stop to it." And he destroyed every one of them after he took Lot out. No, you can't stop them, or you haven't. The government hasn't stopped them. And all of our preaching and teaching hasn't stopped them. All of our complaining hasn't stopped them. But God can and God will. When Jesus comes, folks, he's going to take us out. And then you know what this world can expect. The wrath and the judgment of God upon them. You see, I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. I've got a bright future ahead of me. That's not why I'm walking around my head down looking for some place to just crawl over and die. I'm not going out here looking for a cemetery. Santa knows what she can do with me. She's already told me a few times what she'd do with me. But I'm looking for the Lord to come. I truly am looking for the Lord to come. I want to be listening. I want to be expecting Him. I'll go on as long as He gives me life and breath. I'll just keep going. Eating and drinking. Building, buying, selling. But you see, it could all end right now. And the glorious thing of it, that'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful if He'd come right now. You say, oh, brother, don't talk like that. What have you got left? What are you going to leave behind if He comes right now? Anything good? Anything valuable? No. The only reason that you and I are going is because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. God help us to see that in spite of all that's going around, all around us, in spite of what's going on, we have something wonderful to look for. Man, you're going to have to see it. But you don't have to wallow in it and just be scared half to pieces. You just look for Jesus to come. Amen. Because He said, when it's like that in the days of Noah, days of Lot, He said, that's when He's coming. What else do we need? Just rejoice in it. You brethren that are moving and going to other places, well, all the rest of us have already done it. But what you do, you just go ahead and move. If you get halfway down somewhere where you're headed, Jesus comes, just say, praise the Lord. Don't sit around and say, how am I going to do it? How's it going to work? What am I going to do? No, Jesus is coming. And He may come, and you won't have to make a move. Except up. If you're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's my prayer that you might see Him as everything you need for your salvation and your eternity. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in His death, burial, and resurrection in your behalf and be saved. Come out and tell us about it. And if you're here and saved, are you looking for Him? Are you listening for Him? Do you expect Him anytime? May God bless you.